Yes, a very good afternoon and good evening to everybody, wherever you're finding yourself. Welcome to the business and economic segment. This is lecture hall one.
Yeah.
With me, Kaveve Dembruka.
And David Shombe. Welcome to business and economic segment. We are very happy to be with you again this time. Yeah, business and economic segment, as we have already and we normally introduce it. It's a platform where we talk about, you know, economic matters. We talk about local, domestic economy. We talk about the regional economy. We also talk about the international economy. We do an analysis and observe national economic policies. We look at the contribution of the private sectors. It's also a platform where we bridge the gap between, you know, those who understand economic matters and those who are willing to learn. And you know, Kave, it's an educational program.
Yes.
Yeah, it's an educational program. Yes, and yes. It's also a platform where we, you know, we call lawmakers, we call the experts, we call business people. And we also call those who have, you know, a similar goal, which is to, you know, is to promote inclusive economic development of the country. And, you know, to live a better life, because the aim is always to, you know, to improve the quality of life and improve the standard of our country. That's why it's always good to be at this platform, and it's always good when our listeners, they follow, they contribute, and they assist us in what we are doing in this regard.
Most definitely. And for today, we'll be looking at, you know, will Africa ever get there? We're talking about, will Africa ever be a dominant economic force to be reckoned with?
Yeah,
because we are currently now at the place where, you know, the USA have been here,
yeah,
the southern eastern countries have been here, you know, 20 30 years back, 150 years back, they were in the same position that we are in right now.
Yeah,
they were also, you know, a developing continent once.
Yeah,
and we as an African continent, you know, the question now to ask is, how do we get to where they are now?
Yeah,
what should we do in order to build our economies and to build our continent, you know, to reach where the other continents are? Because we're not supposed to be the weakest link, or we're not supposed to be the underdog in any regard.
Yeah.
So how do we then build nations that can prosper for the better tomorrow?
No, I think, you know, that is a very good start to start with, because, you know, Kave, what I've seen is that you know, Africa could have gone if we could have used different methods than what we are using now. Because one thing that we need to look at is that when you look at the aspect of development, especially economic development and also human development, in the context of Africa, the solution to our problem is within us.
Yeah.
There's no one's going to help us. Because, you know, since, you know, because, you know, African countries, we can talk about we're colonized, ne?
Yeah.
But Kave, if I just have to tell you, from 1960s, African countries were already starting getting independence.
Yeah.
But, you know, after those independence, now these people, we rely too much on our colonial masters.
Mm-hmm.
And what is very interesting, people who colonized us, they created this system that even if they are gone, we still have to go to them and look for assistance.
Mm.
And, you know, a lot of people have spoke about this. We, you know, you come back to the same system which was colonizing you, and Then what you need to ask yourself, who is benefiting from this system?
Mm.
The people who are gone.
Yeah.
The people who were colonizing you. Yeah, that's why now for us to move forward, we need to look at the different perspectives. Because, you know, it's very, 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 very difficult for us to reach where, you know, other countries are at this moment, like USA.
Mm.
Somebody talk about 150 years, which is true.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, you cannot reach there. And what is very funny is, who is defining development for you? Yeah. Is it development because you have good infrastructure while people are hungry? Or is it development because you have everything which is on the other country? Where are we looking at?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why, no, we need to ask ourselves these questions, and we also need to see, what are we doing wrong?
Mm-hmm.
What are we doing wrong? Is it really because we are colonized?
yeah, and I like what you're saying about you know, how do you define development?
Yeah.
Because, you know, back then, for especially the African continent, the way that we would look at development, it was in the sense of, as long as we, you know, we all have something to eat, and there's no crime, and that's basically what it was.
Yeah,
but now I feel like we are under this I don't know if it's a colonial thing or something, but then we are under this impression that in order to be developed, you have to, you know, attain, or you have to own some kind of things, or you have to be at a certain level.
Yeah.
And I think that comes with also the whole theory of capitalism that was employed upon us.
Yeah.
Because now somebody has to be rich in order for the other, somebody has to be poor for the other one to be rich.
You are
and
right.
It's something that governs us till today, and it's a big problem within us.
No, you are right. Because when you look at like what is defining development, because to Africans, some things are not necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Some things are not necessary, but we must have them. If you have enough resources, you know, we must have them. And some of the things, because we are not the same.
Yeah.
Because what was an African community by then is that, you know, Kabe, you have cattle, me, I have mahango, we trade, but we are also advancing. What people don't know is that even before you guys were colonized, we were colonized. Not you guys, but before we were colonized, now our grandfathers and, you know, our ancestors, before they were colonized, they were already developing.
Yeah.
Because developing means changing. Because these guys were already changing their laws. They were already saying, no, it's not good to do this. It's good to change. Even the dressing code, things were already changing.
Mm-hmm.
We were advancing, and we were also trading. Because, Kaveh, if I have to take you, you know, Shwambo tradition.
Yeah.
If it has been a practice long time, if a lady got pregnant without go through, you know, there's a traditional initiation, you know, Olufuko.
I've heard of it.
Yeah, it's like you are being how should I put it in better words? Because you know these young ladies,
mm-hmm.
they have to go through a ceremony where they say no. You reached womanhood. And after that ceremony, even if you get pregnant, it's fine. It's like you are married already,
mm-hmm.
and there's nothing can come to you. But mm-hmm. those years, if you happen to get pregnant without you going through that process, in most tradition, we're killed.
Oh,
yeah, that's why you were killed, and there's a certain name which is used.
Mm.
Even if I use it up to now, it's not a right way to be used, but it's coming from that aspect. But you know, people realize that, I think, you know what we are doing, eh? It's not the right thing.
Yeah.
Because it has been a traditional practice, but we have to change.
Mm.
We have to develop.
Yeah.
We can't just think like this. We can't kill our ladies just because of that.
Yeah.
Then there is this thing now to say, no, tradition has also changed. If you did something wrong, you might just pay.
Mm.
You might just pay, or we might just call you a name, but we are not going to kill you. Even in terms of trade, things have been changing, but when you come to the broader context now of where we are going to be a dominant economy, or we are just going to be an underdog forever.
Mm.
Because Africa has been, you know, we are not really to say a dumping site of all other continents, but we are still very far.
Mm.
And the way people are looking at us is like we cannot think.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you put an African child with a kid from China at the same school, mm-hmm. same resources, there's no way you are going to beat the intelligence of that person.
Mm.
We are the same, intellectually wise, biological. We are the same.
Mm.
But the only problem is what is going on? Is it our government? Is it the people?
Mm.
Or what is going on?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's a question to ask, because you'll really wonder what's going on, because Africa has so many resources.
Yeah.
You would think we are like the richest continent.
No, we are.
In terms of natural resources, we have everything. We have oil, we have diamonds, you know, we have uranium.
Yeah.
And things, these are things that the superpowers don't have.
Yeah.
And they come to us for these things.
Yeah.
But then the way that, you know, they are at our disposal, but we don't utilize them, or you don't utilize them in the right way per se, that will produce effective results.
Yeah.
So really the question to ask is, because we have potential to be an economic powerhouse, but then really, how can we get there?
Yeah.
How do we industrialize? How do we, you know, put ourselves in that position to say, okay, from here on out, we're going to do this as Africans, and we're going to build our continent. And I think it also comes a lot with working together as one unit.
Yeah.
Because the thing about all of those other countries, like the Western countries and the European countries, because even in terms of colonialism, this is something that they all did together.
Yeah.
Like it was a thing of them that, no, for us to, you know, to get richer or to get wherever we want to be, let's go, you know, colonize this African country. These people don't know anything. So let's go take advantage.
You just come here with, you know, few guns and alcohol.
Yeah.
Then the kings will just say, no, you don't even know what is 200 hectares of land.
Yeah.
Yeah. They say, no, you know, you just take from there.
Mm.
But, you know, the question that we need to ask ourselves now is, who is disadvantaged if Africa grow economically?
Mm.
Who's going to suffer? Because the moment, you know, because there are people who are benefiting from our disorganization. Mm. There are also people who are benefiting from poverty of Africa.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if you just look without judging what the developed countries are doing, when they come to Africa, yeah, some of them, they have good intention. We have good relationship. I don't want to get there. But you have those who come to Africa, it's like you are coming to a kindergarten, you are coming with aid.
Mm.
But you are not really bringing me the technology that you guys are using there.
Yeah.
Yeah, you are coming. Yeah, it's true. Yeah. You are coming here with aid. You are coming with food. You are coming, and you are coming here to take pictures. And you are making fun of me.
Mm.
But the resources that you guys are standing on is coming from Africa.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's coming from Africa. But now, maybe what we should ask, what is the better way of running the African economy? Maybe from the country perspective, what is the better way of running the economy? Mm. Do we need to come up with our own governance system? Because this one, Kaveh, if I have to ask you, you know, our late president, may he so rest in peace, he used to say, no, system, process, and institution. But when you are saying the system, whose system is this we are using? It's true. Whose system?
Mm.
Whose institution? Yes, there are institutions that we created after independence, but whose system you are using?
Mm.
And is this system really working? Yeah, because if you are following that, you may develop at the pace of a kid who is walking.
Yeah.
You are not moving far.
Yeah.
But what's wrong with the system? Because if you start moving around and asking this thing of development, we can have different ideas, but the people will just come, no, you know where the system is.
Yeah.
Because if I start blaming you are the leader, must, no, Kaveh, your leadership is corrupt, or you do A, B, C, and D, or you are not good with governance. Then after that, you can also say, no, I tried my best, but the system is blocking me.
Yeah.
But what can we do with the system?
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's a really good point to start at, because I feel like most of these systems, they were meant to oppress us.
Yeah.
They were meant to keep us down.
Yeah.
They were just meant to, you know, put Africa at a level where we cannot be above these other countries that were colonizing us. And today, we still continue on. So when we gained our independence, it just shows that instead of, you know, amending these systems or just breaking them down and starting some afresh, we just continued them. So therefore, the oppression will continue.
Yeah.
Therefore, the lack of knowledge will continue because we are using systems that were meant for that.
Yeah, it's true. And, you know, it's very difficult. It's a very difficult thing because you know, what I have observed, you can have African leaders who are coming to power with good intentions.
Mm.
Our president-elect is not different from this. There are people who are really coming with good intention. There are people who are coming with good ideas.
Mm.
Yeah, but when you sit in that office, when you just sit in that office, you end up, you know, doing worse than what you expect, or just continue with the process which has already been set.
Yeah.
Because the system is in place, is very difficult, is in place to that extent that you cannot change a lot of things.
Mm.
Because somebody must benefit from outside.
Mm-mm.
Somebody must, you know, Kaveh, you know, people, where are decisions made? If you are asking yourself, who is making decisions?
Mm-hmm.
When somebody is coming, you know, because they are power is not what you see.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who are running the country, or there are people who are running the continent without even you knowing who they are.
Mm.
Yeah, we just meet them in the street driving, you know, old cars.
Yeah.
But these are the guys who are running your economy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if your government is not doing very well, they can just advise or threaten to say, no, we are going to stop this one, and you are not going to do anything.
Mm.
Yeah. And,
yeah.
And it needs people who have balls. It needs people who have balls, because if you really want to develop, you must make tough decisions.
Yeah.
And you must let some people to go and some people to come in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
And for us to be the economic powerhouse that we want to be, it's going to take a while.
Yeah.
But I think initially it does start with all of us.
Yeah, yeah.
Because like we've been saying all these days, you know, how do we become part of this conversation?
Yeah, yeah,
we contribute?
Yeah, yeah.
And like we should never limit ourselves. And I feel like in Africa we have that mentality of limiting ourselves,
mm-hmm.
of saying, you know, it's just Africa.
Yeah.
We don't know this. We don't know that.
It's African time.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's African time.
And that's the problem.
and you are right.
Mm. And like, you know, all these powerhouses that we see now, they started some way.
Yeah.
Eventually, they were also, you know, not as strong as they were, as they are now, or as economically developed.
Yeah.
They had to start some way. So I feel like once we get rid of that mentality of, it's just Africa, it's just what.
Yeah.
And then we can actually start building from there, because to build resilience, you have to first, you know, it starts in your mind. Yeah. It starts in your mind, because if you think you are capable, you can actually do something.
You are right. But let's look at, you know, because when you want to do something better, look at the examples of other countries who came from very far.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know where Singapore is now.
Mm.
If you look at the history of Singapore, I think they become independent from Malaysia, I think 1965 or somewhere there. But what these guys did, what did they do right? Maybe you ask yourself, what did they do right? Because this country were also down. They had a high rate of unemployment. They did not have resources. But what did they do right?
Yeah.
The first thing that they did right is to have a visionary leader. And they have a stable governance system.
Mm.
Yeah. If you have somebody who is driving there, if the driver of the bus is fit and can see far, it's easy to move.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why where these people are standing now. Imagine from a third world country to the first world country.
Mm-hmm.
Very fast.
Yeah.
If you ask yourself, what did Japan did well? Because Japan was bombed, which year was it? I think 1945. Japan was bombed by America. I think it's the only country in this world which was attacked by, you know, atomic bombs.
Mm.
And a lot of people were killed.
Yeah.
And when infrastructure were destroyed, and this thing have what long-term effect also on people.
Mm.
After maybe 10 years, people are still giving birth to people who are deformed because of these chemicals and whatsoever.
Mm-mm.
But where are they now?
Yeah.
It's the first world country. But you know, Africa, you know, is for Africans, but... no, because the other thing also, I also don't like blaming people, but maybe what can we do from where we are standing now?
Mm.
Yeah, what can we do?
Yeah.
Yeah, because... If we work our governance system right, maybe we can bring together right people.
Yeah.
Yeah, just have right people.
Mm.
Because you don't need the big team, just the right people to lead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think also one of the most important questions to ask ourselves is what are we willing to compromise on?
Yeah.
Because you could ask for assistance from, you know, our electoral partners.
Yeah.
But then these people are giving you something in return for something else.
What are they getting from you?
Yeah. So you have to look at it in a way of, what am I willing to sacrifice? What am I willing to compromise on? Mm. Do I take this aid in return of my people's security within the country?
Yeah.
Or do I take this in return of, you know, something? Something is got to give for you to get something from somebody else.
No, you know why we are there, eh? You know, international relations, in diplomacy is a battleground, but people don't see this.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why when you are sending your people outside the country, in diplomacy, that is a battleground, because you come to agreements, economic agreements, with people, what is in your mind is that you are winning.
Yeah.
But you know, those diplomats, they will not show you that they are also winning.
Mm-hmm.
Then when you come home, you say, no, Namibia signed, I always, because you know, when you go to the page of the Ministry of International Relations, they always write this beautiful statement to say, no, Namibia formed partnership with this country.
Yeah.
It was a win-win situation. And what it ends there.
Yeah.
It ends there. But it's very beautiful to see, but are we really moving?
Mm.
Are we really moving? Because what you have said about compromising, you have to let something go for you to get something.
Mm.
Yeah. But it's like you are letting everything go now. yeah, because what are we getting from that?
Yeah.
Because compromising is very important, because you can't win all the things.
Mm.
Yeah, but at least if you have your people secured and the future of your kids secured, I think you can build for somewhere.
Mm.
Yeah. And this thing also of having... You know, partnership is good, but did we really reject some agreement just to say no? We are not going to partnership with you. Wait, because it's like you know, it's good. Somebody was saying it's good and bad to have friends from all both sides. Because when you look at Namibia, Namibia is a country. Because when you look at their foreign policy, they are saying no, we are friend to all. An enemy to none.
Yeah.
But can you really? It's benefiting you because you can benefit from both ways.
Yeah.
You can able to move from both sides. But are you really a friend to all?
Mm.
Where this country, they also don't talk. Countries are like human beings.
Yeah.
There are those that you are working with, and there are those that you are saying you are not working with.
Mm.
And there are also those that you are saying, no, let's cooperate here, let's cooperate here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
So we have to really, you know, look at that from another point of view, because
yeah.
these partnerships are important, but then to what extent are they costing us also?
Hmm.
Yeah. So in this fight of economic building, we really yeah. do have to, you know, evaluate our friends and who they are
yeah.
and what's in it for them, what's in it for us.
Hmm.
Because at the end of the day, you cannot just, you know, compromise on everything, but then you have to look at this from both sides. Like, where yeah. are you also winning as a developing country? Because you have to remember that you are the one who's developing. These people are already developed.
Yeah.
Most of these nations are already developed. They're
yeah.
already there.
Yeah.
So you're the one who's trying to get somewhere. So you have to now see how you can position yourself so that you get the most out of this agreement and not them.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, you have to say, like, I'm the one who's trying to develop, so I have to get most out of this. It shouldn't even be a question of 50-50, because,
yeah.
like, why should it be 50-50? Well, you know, how can you be 50-50 with a growing child?
No, yeah. You are in grade three, somebody's in grade 10, and yeah. you are saying it's 50-50.
What do you mean?
No, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
It's not going to work like that. Yeah, because one thing that we need to know, when a developed country is coming to you to assist you, know that you are also assisting them. Don't just say, no, I receive, you know, aid from Cave. Cave is from any country, and he's very helpful. He's our main partner. But do you think Cave just coming to your country for nothing?
Exactly.
You are also getting something. And that is what people don't want to talk about.
Mm.
And I think we need somebody who can do like what others did not do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because if we continue what things have been done, I don't think we are moving. We are not moving.
Yeah.
Let's go to a commercial break and come back.
The festive season comes with a lot of traveling. Whether you're driving out of town, making a dash to the store, or simply crossing the street, ensure your safety by adhering to all the road rules during the holiday season. Do the right thing and save lives.
This message was brought to you by the National Road Safety Council.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Yes, welcome back. This is the business and economic segment, lecture hall one with Kaveh and David.
Yeah.
We're talking about, you know, will Africa ever get to be the dominant economic force that we want to be? Will we ever get to be a powerhouse in terms of economy? And you can, of course, contribute in this topic. You can share your opinion, your questions, or just, you know, anything that can aid in the fight, you know, of getting Africa where it needs to be. Our studio number is 083-288-8401. That is 083-288-8401.
Yeah. There's a caller. Take that caller, eh?
Yes, good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon. How are you, ma'am?
I'm well. How are you?
Good. Thank you very much for having me.
Yes. Who are we talking to?
Yes, you're talking to the doing the right thing, huh?
Oh, okay. Welcome back.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look, it's a very good, interesting, and it's an interesting topic. Perhaps I have to, you know, a little bit disagree with you guys there, you know, because I don't see anything wrong with capitalism, really. I think the notion of perhaps people always, you know, have this narrative of saying that capitalism is a Western system. Capitalism is a good system.
It's a good system, right?
It's a free market system, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When you set up your prices, you know, it allows you to work. You have to compete. You know, right? And if you don't compete, if you don't work hard, if you're in a certain country, you're not gonna eat. You won't flourish. So you have to work hard. That's capitalism. And private companies, of course, you know, they compete and stuff like that. So that about the greediness and the selfishness when people are getting more richer. That's something else. Perhaps the government could control that, right? But nevertheless, I think capitalism is more far better than I mean, of course, all these policies have disadvantages and disadvantages, socialism and communism and all these. Look at Venezuela.
What about Venezuela now? What about the mixed economy?
Of course, there's mixed economy also. You can have it, you know. But but look at Venezuela and look at all these countries that are socialism. You know, So capitalism, it's just a system that allows you to work and to compete and to have, to grow as an individual.
Yeah.
So, and the other thing, when it comes to, creating our economy, I think, again, it's our system really failed us.
Okay.
From independence. So, look, Namibia, particularly Namibia, has this tons of resources.
Yeah.
It's a very rich country.
Yeah.
And our system didn't create that. People, enrich themselves and, rather than building houses, rather than building schools. I remember, years back, if all these VTCs, they were just a laughing stock, right?
Yeah.
People were just, thinking about going to college, colleges and universities, but not knowing that, if you build VTC in your country, it's the economy.
Yeah.
Right? You need technicians, you need electricians, all these things, So in that area, we failed housing. You have to have people, your people should have housing.
Yeah.
And sanitation and water and all these things. Not these shacks and, combustion and all these things, what they're saying now.
Yeah.
Because really we failed, And it is a system, it's a management and leadership, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't have to blame colonization on that part because who's running the country now? The black people are running the country.
Mm-hmm,
they're
mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Of course, the impact of colonization, I'm not denying that, but we shouldn't be a victim, right?
Yeah,
being a crying baby. So I think, and the other thing, our dollar is also, connected to South Africa.
Yeah.
Why don't we dissociate that? And of course, we have got markets, we've got other markets.
Mm-hmm.
But as I said, we've got the resources in this country. We could make markets with Ghana.
Yeah.
Botswana has its own pula.
Yeah.
And then you could create other markets and make revenue and make money.
Yeah.
Our dollar doesn't do anything in South Africa, right? But we still rely on South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the small things, and our economists, the AP, you got all these educated people, but it's just, these people are just there to enrich themselves and drive nice houses, and have nice houses and drive, better cars. So I think those are the typical things that are suffering, that's really taking back the economy of Namibia, particularly in Africa.
You are saying we should detach our dollars from SA rent?
Yeah, I think. If you want to build your economy, and how do you build your... I like Botswana, right? Because Botswana is poorer.
Yeah.
These guys are doing so better in, the creating... They have these resources that is in Botswana, right?
Yeah.
And they don't mess it up. They have the diamonds, they do business somewhere here and there.
Mm.
But the current is very strong, right? That pool is very strong.
Yeah.
So why don't we do that? We got other resources. Why should we, till at 35 years of independence, people are telling us, I know the economy will shrink, because, our economy is small. No, come on. We got the resources. We are rich, right? Namibia is very rich, but the corruption.
Who own our economy? Because it's one thing to say Namibia is rich. It's also one thing to see when a foreign own maybe 70% of percentage in a certain sector or in a certain mining.
Yeah, that's a very good question you ask. Because you just talk about the aid thing, right?
Yeah.
This aid thing is just—it has been killing Africa since, since a bad way.
Mm.
Remember, look, these people are giving $8 and whatever.
Yeah,
you're thinking that it's free of charge. It's not free.
Yeah.
Our government is taxing us, our citizens, because they have to pay this aid back.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than these companies coming here and open. Perhaps factories or shops, with lower tax.
Yeah.
Not tax them up. Don't increase your tax. Make it lower so that they could come here and create business.
Mm-hmm.
Now, You got all these companies coming here, maybe perhaps, let me just give an example, Pick and Pay or Shopee or whatever, or any company that is coming here, the tax is so high, and these people end up paying our people peanuts because the tax is high. And you got all these foreigners giving you aid, thinking that, you know, this is, you know, but to get that money back, you have to tell your citizens. So that's the tricky part is being played here. So yeah. I think we blame our government, perhaps the leaders, taking advantage of our citizens, and that's not leadership.
Thank you. One minute.
One minute, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think we should create, look at Namibia. Namibia is so big, right?
Yeah.
We don't have any, feedlot. A feedlot, agricultural, industry, where, start with small, animals, calves and stuff like that.
Mm.
Look at our, what do you call this, our green schemes, what are they doing?
Mm-hmm.
Almost dead, right?
Yeah.
So I think we need, people should be serious and work hard and stop this self-enrichment and stuff like that. So I think that's what we're tackling.
I think you're doing the right thing. Thank you for your contribution, as always.
Thank you, listen, man. Thank
you. Yeah, Kave.
Yeah.
Those are points.
Those are very solid points.
Take that call, eh?
Yes, good afternoon.
Oh, good afternoon to you and Mr. Shombe. How are you?
We are good. How are you?
Yeah, well,
thank you. Yeah, yes. Let's talk about development.
Yes. It's your favorite part.
I heard you people talking about partnership,
yeah,
collaboration,
yeah,
and issues like that.
Yeah.
Listen, we are talking about a globalized village.
Yeah.
Even within our domestic market, economy here, people are creating alliances, strategic alliances.
Yeah, bro.
Who are you to go it alone?
Yeah.
With this global, that's what people are saying, and I've been listening to His Excellency, the President of South Africa.
Yeah.
How is now, how they are, they are the one who are leading that thing. How do you call it again? I don't know if that is G something.
It's G20 or something.
Yeah, something like that. G28, I think.
Yeah.
All these global alliances.
Yeah.
So people are strategically positioning themselves.
Mm.
Not necessarily that if you detach from the land or if you have polar there, then what?
Mm.
So this is that. So that's why we want to create the currents that's so powerful. Even if, South Africa is a developed country and also a developing economy.
Okay.
So as we bargain and create alliance, for example, you have this SADC, you have this ECOWAS, and you have got all this European and all these other things.
Mm.
These are the blocks. And you can even see our African continental free trade. How do you call it again?
Yeah, African continental free trade area.
All those are platforms. They are created to make sure that there will be no imperfect competition. In the economy, we always try to create.
Uncle Bwana.
Yes.
I want to ask you a question.
Is it
we talk about the strategic alliance and partnership? Maybe it's multilateral agreements or any other agreements. Is it really right for a developing state or maybe a very small country to be part of all those global institutions?
So obviously, your being there does not necessarily that you contribute only financially.
Yeah.
Like Namibia.
Yeah.
Namibia is it's so great in terms of negotiation.
It's what?
In terms of... He's honored, he's liked by the world. If there are conflicts, I'm not telling you if there are conflicts
They like Namibia, they like our resources.
No, apart from the resources.
Yeah.
Our resources, that's why this time around, in terms of development,
yeah.
If you look at green hydrogen,
yeah.
It's an activity.
Okay.
Which is coming across to all the other sectoral development or sectoral budgets.
Okay.
That means any budget that you get from Tateshimi.
Yeah.
To any other.
Mm.
It means the green hydrogen activities are incorporated there, integrated there.
Mm.
So in agriculture, for example, that's what I'm saying. You know, these are very, very important crucial information that I'm giving you now.
Yeah.
So now, if there are anything, you know, today we were talking with Mike, we were talking about our economy, our domestic economy growing by 3 something, I think I see you know, some percentages. I don't have my notes here now.
I think the third...
Manufacturing also is sweeping up there.
But the third quarter, I think
construction. Construction, all the percentages are there.
Yeah.
And remember, in construction, who is going to construct now? If we cannot create this strategic alliance among ourselves and say, yes, you are this other one, you are this other one, this is the company.
Yeah.
These ones are for graduates from the university or DTC or whatever. These are accountants. And, but our boss, are you still there? But you are not saying anything.
But we are asking because the conversation is not only about Namibia, it's how to advance Africa in general to reach the first world country. Because they are saying where we are now, other countries like the US, they have been here already, I think, 70 years. We are late. How can we move forward?
Yes, that's why I think you need now to collaborate, create those, even here within the government, within our own domestic, we have got this public-private partnership.
Yeah.
You have got this domestic area that you are talking about, this infra, these things. I'm just telling you that so... That's why you cannot compete. You cannot go it alone.
Okay. We are going to have a commercial break, then we give you 1 minute to conclude.
Then I conclude. Yes.
Good.
Hey, it may be hot, but we're gonna make it cool. Buy a 750ml tuffle, SMS your code to 77700, and you could win instant prizes like bucket hats, kapana, or one of 10 grand prizes worth 50,000 Namibian dollars each. Make your day. Make it a tuffle today. T's and C's apply. Not for persons under the age of 18. Drink responsibly.
At my age, you start appreciating things you might have taken for granted before, like good health. I've known from early on that donating blood regularly was indeed good for my health. I'm too old now, but I've done my part in saving hundreds of lives while benefiting my own. You see, my risk of a heart attack, stroke, and cancer was always low because I donated blood.
Call NHP on 061-285-5400. We're about you.
Yes, Angel Bona, you can just give us your final contributions.
I conclude, Mami. So I was also expecting your intervention there. Mm-hmm. But nevertheless, since you are together there, I think the same view. What I was trying to say here is that that's why people have created those blocks, economic block, political block, and things like that. Now, it is up to you now to negotiate your own stake there. What is there for you? Mm-hmm. And you might not go it alone. Of course, there are bilateral agreements and all these technical things that Namibia can, you know, negotiate straight and, you know, all these other things. Mm-hmm. But there are also that way you used to have now, you must use this front line, like the South African, this SADC and all these other things. Then to create now alliance with those East African blocs and all these things. And then so that you trade. If you do not do that, you will not be able to now see maybe where are your strengths. That's why sometimes in the Mwanja and all these other things and others, you see now the restriction on this certain product.
Mm-hmm.
Why? What do they want you to do? They want you now to create an enough basket for those certain products to make sure that even when you are exporting them.
Yeah.
So now, yes, you can even say, okay, South Africa, Namibia is producing these cucumbers or whatever, or berry or whatever you can think of. And then now from there. The same apply here. We are not going to have those products that are going into separate here or wherever that is coming from South Africa. No. Unless we measure our capacity and we say, no, here we cannot provide because of this thing. So what do we do? So thank you very much. I love your question. So next time, maybe I'm not the right person to answer, but Kanzo Kakwanyika is coming now. Give him that question.
Next time we are going to call you also.
Okay, no problem.
Okay. Yeah. You know, Kaveh, developmental conversations.
developmental conversations are very difficult conversations. It's like economic conversations.
Yeah.
Because everyone has a point, and but there must be, you know, there must be always commonalities. How can you move forward after we are done debating?
Mm.
Can you really go home and see, no, as African, we are going to cook this one, we are going to build this one.
Yeah.
Because this is not, it's not parliament.
Mm-mm.
Where everyone is, you know, some people, they oppose really for the sake of contributing, but some people, they oppose for the sake of, you know, just winning because I'm this side.
Yeah.
There's a caller on that side, ne?
Yes, good afternoon.
Yes, yes, briefly. I mean, you're back, they don't know nothing, but I'm just quickly, briefly.
Yeah.
You know, look, I mean, just look around, man, and in Katutura, right? Well, anyway.
Yeah.
It's streets, man. You're talking about development, right?
Yeah.
What are the streets? Dust, no pavement, nothing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You've got resources. You've got leaders.
Yeah.
I mean, you could do that. You could put, you know, interlocks. You could, you know.
Yeah.
And you're talking about the colonization, and you've got all these African brothers and sisters that are overseas.
Yeah.
That benefited in the capitalism system, you know, so rich. You know, they've benefited in that system. They're rich.
Yeah.
Why don't they come back and invest in Africa?
Mm-hmm.
They can't, because our system is you know, it's hindering them, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't even stop somebody. Don't throw, your can, you know, don't just throw it away, put it in a dustbin. That simple thing to say, like, to tell somebody here, it's like a crime, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think, it's developing a country, it's more than just, I mean, you know, like sitting in the office, or it's educating, it's education, you know, awareness, you know, and stuff like that. So I think we need to work, pull up our socks and work hard.
Yeah, I think working hard is there. I'm supporting you. We really need to work hard.
Mm.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah. We must work hard.
Yeah.
We must work three jobs. Because in other countries, people, they don't sleep.
Yeah.
There was one guy who was talking, I think it's a YouTube educational video. He said, no, when you guys are sleeping in Africa, other people in Western California, they are already going to their, they are already awake.
Mm-mm.
Because who come up with this thing that you must sleep 8 hours, really?
Mm.
Everything came from that side.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because how can I sleep 8 hours if I still have to come and struggle?
Yeah.
Because we must have business minded, while we are also keeping our uniqueness.
Mm.
Because if Africa wants really to develop, we must do something different from what other countries did.
Yeah.
Because if we want to develop and we are going to use the same technology, like which is fine, because there was one conversation, you know, I like following developmental conversation.
Yeah,
there was a conversation, you know, when Job was you know, that young activist, mm-hmm. I think that time was just 26 or something, he had a very productive interview with Kathembere on NBC.
Mm.
Then he was talking about one thing. I have to go and read, because sometimes if you really want to develop, we must see which ideas we are taking. Take idea from this side, take idea from this person.
Yeah.
You can say something and I hate you, ne?
Mm-hmm.
But if you are good, you are just good.
Yeah, that's true.
And I have to use something from you.
Yeah.
Because he was talking about state-directed development.
Mm.
Then he made a point to say, The countries like the US and the UK, they developed because they had slaves.
Mm.
If you go to Manchester City, the city itself,
yeah,
those are uncles who build those strong buildings.
Yeah, that's true.
And those trained people were suffering there.
Mm.
But if you just motivate me to be like London, do you really think I'm going to reach that level?
Mm.
I have to find some way so that I can also reach there.
Yeah.
Because I can't just do the same. Because these guys, some of they develop through ill deeds.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, but anyway, we must find a way which is okay. We can learn from them, but mm-hmm. it must also be unique.
Yeah,
it's the only way we are going to win.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I like what you're saying about uniqueness, because that's one of the key factors that drove all these countries to develop to the level where they are now.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
of that uniqueness.
Yeah,
because even if we look at the level of, you know, the franchises that they own across the globe.
Yeah, yeah.
Some companies, like, they started from America, but now they are like all over the world.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's because of uniqueness, because they were innovative enough to do something in a unique way.
Yeah.
Now it's everywhere. And now even in Africa, we don't even own our own shops.
Yeah.
These are shops that are owned by Western countries, but then they operate here, and we buy our local food from there. We buy our clothing from there.
We don't buy in while we are there, our business people, you can be a Namibian person who is really motivated about making clothes.
Mm.
But for you to come up with, let me say, a trouser, you need to buy materials, you need transport, you need what. And when you're going to sell this trouser, maybe you have to make it like, you know, 800 or so.
Yeah.
But there's somebody who is coming from those developed countries. And they are coming here to dump prices. The same material, because these guys have resources, then they sell it for 200 or 100. It's like you are in a, you cannot put in a boxing ring, what? A cat and an elephant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because somehow the weights are not corresponding.
Yeah.
You must find something of equal weight, because if you just bring all the people who are business people, but we also have our local business persons here, it's not good.
Mm.
It's not good at all. We must find a way to say, no, let's protect some of our business people so that they can also grow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that really goes to show that there's a lot to be done.
Yeah.
In terms of, you know, getting Africa where it needs to be in terms of economy, in terms of development. There's really a lot to be done. Because one of the callers actually mentioned something about us, you know, localizing our currencies.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, getting off the rand and more so maybe getting off, you know, all these other currencies that we use.
Yeah.
Because why can't we, you know, localize our own currencies and use them? I think it will start there. That was a good point.
It's a good point.
Yeah.
Look, there was a conversation with Kanjengo, I think it's last month. He was talking about Africa, what? Pan-African payment system.
Yeah.
A Pan-African payment system is saying, when you are trading between African countries, these people must use their, you know, they must use their own currencies.
Mm.
Because if you are buying something from Botswana, you know that your trading is in US.
Mm.
In US, you are just buying something on the other side of the fence. Your trading is in US.
Yep.
Money has to go to another bank. They have to charge you, even if you are buying, but you are trading in the US. But imagine removing that burden.
Mm.
But other countries, I think we also need to trust in ourselves, especially Africans.
Yeah.
Because this thing of going to London, and it's like you made it in life. it's not a good thing. You just went there for a visit. Somebody's country. Yes, it's a beautiful country, maybe, but. And even the way you post like you don't want to come back to your country.
I don't want to come back to your country. Yeah.
This thing of you going to the US, you can go for, I'm not saying people must not take selfie, but you must have pride where you come from. It's the only way you're going to develop.
Yeah.
If you really don't, because that is also attached to self-hate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because if you go to study in the US, then you get your doctorate, you got your master's, then you get a nice job there. Some people, they get married, they don't want to come back anymore.
Mm.
But that's not the aim.
Yeah.
Because the aim is for you to come back where you came from and the trees develop.
Mm-mm.
Because most of the people that, you know, intelligent people that you have, some people they left, most of them they left Africa.
Yeah.
Most of them they left Africa, they are working in the US, they are working in the UK, they are in other countries.
Mm.
And when you are even looking at them, they don't want to, they just say, no, Africa is like what? But these are the people who are supposed to come and
develop Africa.
And develop Africa.
Yeah. And I think that goes back to the topic that we're having, that, you know, when you make it in life or whenever, it's important to go back to your roots and see how you can now help the people and help the countries where you came from.
Yeah.
Because a lot of our talented people, they now work abroad and they're making all these other countries flourish when they have, you know, a whole continent that has to be explored, a whole continent that has to be built up. But then they are there investing in those countries and they forgot where they came from. And I think that goes a lot to show that we don't really, you know, when we're teaching our young people, we don't really, you know, teach them in a way that, you know, makes them excited to come back and invest in their own countries. Because we're using all these systems that are like, this is how something is supposed to look like, this is how it's supposed to be done. So when they are in that, you know, setting of what they were taught, now they want to stay there. They don't want to come back this side anymore. And it has to start there with our institutions of higher learning. It has to start with the type of education.
Even education.
Yeah.
Because you must... African, especially the researchers, they must write books based on African development, because you can't develop Africa with a book written about London economy.
Mm.
Those books, when you go to UNAM, when you go to NASTA, these books are written by people from Australia.
Yeah.
Some of them never stepped in Africa,
mm-hmm.
but you are teaching me how to develop my economy, but the research that you made is not corresponding with where I come from.
Yeah.
Because if you want to develop, you must do your own research.
Mm.
Okay, you can use those books for the basics, or maybe for trading.
Yeah.
Maybe international trade, that is good. But the domestic economy, we must know which books to use. Take the call, Annie.
Yeah. Yes, good afternoon.
Yes, Ben. How are you?
I am good. How are you?
Yeah.
Who are we talking to?
Quivi.
Oh, Quivi.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, how's it? How's it? How's it?
It's alright.
Yeah, you have two minutes, yeah? You are late.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, going there,
yeah.
Going standing there, staying there is not a problem.
Yeah. You want to stay there?
So, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
You just need to position yourself as a country to say,
yeah.
Because sometimes when you go there,
mm-hmm.
some technology are not here in Africa.
Okay.
Because if you read those theory properly about like brain drain, why people, because if you have an African who can go there and be highly trained,
mm-hmm.
technology, they are not in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
You only find them the other side.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're supposed to do as a country is to say maybe, look,
mm-hmm.
you nowadays you can only spy through students.
Okay.
And when you go there as a student, you get an opportunity to go in those nice library, you get all the record.
Yeah.
So having an opportunity to work in those big companies.
Yeah.
For you, as a country.
Yeah.
Because the country was supposed to have a position which are what they want from these people.
Yeah.
When you are there, you can even, you had even an opportunity to see what concept these people are pushing right now. Now, what are we supposed to, what kind of technology now they are moving from this one to this one now? So that you supposed must to send this information back home.
Yeah.
And just also send some of this technology back home. So that when you come back home, at least this technology are here.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I was even thinking to say, look, when, for instance, I went to China now,
yeah.
I didn't produce any report.
Come again?
I didn't produce any report for the country apart from the places.
You in China?
I need to, you know.
You in China?
Yeah.
You in China?
Yes.
What were you studying?
So, I study a master in public administration.
Oh.
The thing is,
you are the people that we need.
Yeah. The thing is, the way I see.
Yeah.
Any student who move out of this country,
yeah.
Now the country needs to solve a lot of problems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right.
Now the country was supposed to have to say, okay, if you are going to study in this area,
yeah,
then we need this and this.
Mm.
So whatever you are going in those university, you're mm-hmm. supposed to use a report. What have you observed there? What are the good pieces there?
Yeah.
How do these people do their things? And all the literature that you use, you're supposed to come with it. Like me, I have all my literature with me that I come with. Some of them are soft copy like that.
You must share those literature also, so we can learn.
So, at the end of the day,
you're
supposed to provide a report most back to the country, not the qualification and the. If you if you are two in that university, all of you are supposed to, and you're supposed to have, the government was supposed to give you everything. Just everything that you need. That's how you can, that's why, you know why Chinese is moving very fast.
Yeah.
There was first generation of the Chinese who went in Europe, especially in America.
They went everywhere.
Now Chinese are going back.
Yeah.
That generation is coming back now.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Chinese government was at that position whereby sometimes they are also paying school for the Chinese abroad.
Mm-hmm.
So that these kids can study in those big and nice universities.
Yeah.
So that they can have an opportunity for those recruiters. Did you know that recruiters, you can never have them here in Africa?
Come again?
There are recruiters that you cannot get them here.
That is true.
You see? They are not... It's not, you only get them when you are in that particular university.
It's a hidden knowledge.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, because when you see, you can, that's why sometimes I always see a gap between the scholars in the country and, you know, there is always a big gap in terms of what you read we almost study the same thing, but what you read is not what I know.
Mm-hmm. So sorry, Mr. Kwezi, to cut you down. Eh? I think the time is not on our side, and we are moving to another program. But tomorrow, make sure that you call on time. You are the people that we need in this show.
No, it's okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much.
Kave, just to conclude, I think Tete Kauluma is waiting.
Tete Kauluma will kill us for his time.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was today's discussion.
Yeah.
We're talking about, you know, will Africa ever make it to become a powerhouse like how, you know, our Western counterparts are?
Yeah.
Will we ever truly get there where we want to be economically? And how do we get there? How do we industrialize? How do we, you know,
yeah,
all these institutions and so on?
Yeah.
So thank you so much to everybody who tuned in. Yeah. You can catch us again tomorrow, same time, same place.
Yeah. See you tomorrow.
Yeah.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Do you have a question you want answered on air? Have a quick comment you want to share with the presenter? Eagle FM's SMS line is now open. Send your questions and thoughts to 1040. That's 1040 for only $1.50.
Listen to Eagle FM in Lüderitz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday and Friday for free directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.